Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
So, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. And today's guest is a lady called Stephanie Slocum. And it's funny because Stephanie did what I want to do when I grow up. She wrote a book with three kids while working over 50 hours a week, and then used that book to completely change her life. And there's something really sneaky about that. I really approve, because I want to do that. I want to, like, you know, put that in and sneak it out and get that out there. And Stephanie was about to tell me this amazing reason that she did it. And I was like, stop, tell me when you're on air. So this is literally going to be the shortest introduction, except for the fact that the lady who we're going to be listening to, my guest today, is somebody who is an engineer. She's in STEM. And there are so few women in STEM, and there are so few engineers. And let me tell you how many there aren't that go off and write friggin' books and then come on my radio show. So all in all, she's already unique. So Stephanie, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Gina.
I'm so happy to have you on. Tell me that story. I wouldn't let you tell me off air.
I was like, where's your left turning moment?
She's like, oh my God, hang on. I was like, no, don't tell me.
Yeah, well, because I had like five left turning moments that all culminated in the book and my journey into entrepreneurship. And so I have to back up before we get to the left turning moment, though, to kind of put
you always a bit in the
in my context. Okay. And so I was someone who did a lot of things that I thought I was supposed to do.
Oh, good girl syndrome. Yeah.
Yep,
see you and raise you on that.
Yep. I am also an oldest child, so I'm sure that weighed into it as well.
Yeah.
But I like science, engineering, math. I picked that major. I went down that path. And I started to shed things as I went along my journey that I didn't think engineers should do or should be. And so I've always loved writing. But someone in my very first job was like, oh, engineers don't like to write. You know, they're generally not great communicators.
Oh my God. Said
and I was like, are you okay? I'm going to put that superpower in a box and pretend it doesn't exist for a while. And so that's what I did. And then we're going to fast forward. And I came to this place in my life, and I imagine you and a lot of our listeners can relate, where on paper, things looked great. And inside, they felt pretty terrible. And so coming into that, we had a unexpected early death in the family. I had the good fortune for me, although I didn't know it at the time, I fought this as well. I met my husband in college, and that wasn't part of my plan either, because I was going to go out, see the world, be the independent woman, do all that sort of thing. So I ended up getting married at 21. We've now been married for, I think, 23 years at this point.
Wow, that's insane.
But into this story comes this unexpected early death of someone who had just retired, and now it was his time to do all the things he wanted to do.
But then he passed before
he could do all those things.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to tell you that story, because otherwise I will start tearing up and I won't get to the rest of the story.
Yeah, no, that's sad.
So into this context, I had a third child. I love all my children. This one was a surprise. And I was really thinking about, okay, you know, I went into my field to make a difference in the world. And I felt like I wasn't doing that. I wasn't using all of my skills to do that. And then coming into that context, another kind of piece of the puzzle, my then 10-year-old was doing a book writing project at school. And I was driving her home from school one day, and I was talking about, oh, I had always wanted to write a book for as long as I can remember. That's one of the things I wanted to do. And my little 10-year-old sitting in the back of the car, she's like, well, Mom, you're always telling us that if we want to do something, start now, just go do it. Take the little step.
That told you.
Go do it. And I'm like, okay, I am getting schooled by my 10-year-old, and she's right. And so I
have a little top tip. It's so much worse when they're 16, 18, 20, 20. just saying, hashtag, it just sucks. But yeah, you
okay,
go.
Okay, so she's now 13.
I feel for you.
I'm ready. I've been warned. Okay, so I started writing this book, and at the time, I was working in an executive level position for someone else. My youngest was almost 2, but not quite yet sleeping through the night. And so I am writing this book in my non-existent free time. And what the book, it started out kind of as a memoir, but then what I recognized was like the parts of engineering I really loved was the people part, was the managing the team, was the, like, how do you get heard in an environment where you may, or as my experience was, often was the only woman in the room.
Uh-huh.
So I basically wrote this book as all the non-technical stuff. I wish someone would have told me earlier in my career, so I didn't think it was me, because I really did think for a very long time that there was something about me that didn't scream leader, that didn't scream, you know, you should be the technical person in charge of this project.
Oh yeah, it was your vagina.
Yep. And I also sat around and waited for someone else to give me permission to do things. And so all of this kind of, you know, we started with the good girl syndrome. It is still in full force coming into this. And so I wrote this book. I put it out into the world, and that's, it took me about a year to write it and edit it and put it out. Even before I put it out, I had lots of moments where I'm like, I'm not sure I want to put this out, because
yes, I know how you feel. Yeah.
I was in a position where I was, again, working for someone else, very, very client facing. Most of my clients are guys. The book, if you're on video, you can see this, is called She Engineers. So just by the title, I was very concerned about backlash, particularly towards my employer. But I'm like, you know what?
That would happen?
I thought it might happen. Yes.
Wow.
But it turned out that didn't happen. I can tell really good stories in my head about worst case scenarios, as a lot of
yeah,
us can.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. But I thought to myself in that moment, I'm like, you know what? If this can help one person to not have to struggle like me, maybe that will end up being my daughter someday. Maybe that's, you know, someone in between us. Then I felt like I had a obligation, per se, to put it out into the world. So I did that. Pretty quickly, I got asked to come speak about the topics in the book to young professionals, to women's groups. And I started taking vacation days from my job to do that. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to do too many things now. This is not a sustainable path. And so 6 months after that book came out, I resigned from my engineering job to jump in.
Babe, that's freaking brave.
Full time. So that is like, there were no joke about 5 lefts that led me to even that moment where I resigned and jumped into this.
Okay, wait, you like just have to stop there, because although I have to say I haven't been an employee for about freaking decades, because I'm sure I'm unemployable. The really interesting thing about what you've just said is that is a massive, there's a couple of things there. One is that you have typical high achieving women fashion glossed over the fact that that was a frigging massive achievement and would have taken huge amounts, not only of effort, but of time management and relationship support to get to that place, right? And women always jump over the really fun parts, because the thing is that you're frigging a unicorn, because do you know how many people hate their jobs and want to leave and do something else? Right? And do you know how many of them are terrified to resign and do something else, because they just are not sure if it'll work out? And you wrote a book while you were working and mothering three kids. I mean, it doesn't matter what sex they are. And then you also resigned. I need the human part of this. What the hell?
Yeah.
What happened there? Because that's what I give a shit about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, like, in my particular case, so like that year and a half, I would say, it was both really, really difficult. Like emotionally,
no shit.
And because like I was writing this book. You know, I like to look at things and, okay, for a long time I spent saying, I'll do this when other things happen, you know, like
yeah.
You know, if I lose that last 20 pounds, then I'll go do the things I want to do. And that couldn't happen in this case. Like, there was no, I can turn off life and sit for 3 weeks and write a book. That wasn't going to happen. And so what I ended up doing is I have a very supportive partner. And I talked to my family about, okay, I need to write this. Here's what needs to happen to write this. And I got very little sleep that year. But I'm like, okay, you know, a partner has to help, you know, take the kids off for to the park for a couple of days. I voice memoed a lot of my book in terms of, I recorded it to my phone, standing in line at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. And you know, I would
this is the shit that's really interesting,
because and go do that.
You didn't tell me that. I love this. So when you were doing that, were you then just setting it, uploading it for transcription service or something?
Yes.
Now, did you have a publisher or did you self-publish?
I self-published it because I wanted to own it and I wanted to be able to give it to whomever I wanted on it. You can see it up on Amazon. I also give a lot of copies of this book out for free because I want it to reach the people it needs to reach. And so, yeah, I want the people who are listening to take away from this story that no matter how, like, whatever your dream is, you can take a tiny step towards it right now, even if you don't know where it's going to go. And I think that was my biggest challenge. Yeah. I like to know when I step down a path that some version of success awaits me somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
But what I've come to realize was is that, yeah, it's, you know, it's hard, but it doesn't, it's like a choose your own path adventure. Whatever path you go down, an adventure awaits.
And happiness of a sort, really. But not everybody feels like that, right? So I just before we go to break, I want to just reiterate a few things here. Firstly, you were in a very traditional path, in a non-traditional arena, but a traditional path of working, babies, marriage,
absolutely.
And then what you did is you actually were like, this is my dream, I have to do this. And you, even though you got bounced into it by a 10-year-old, you know, like, why not, is you asked for help. You turned around and you relied on the people around you, and women don't like to do that. And you did that. Right. And that was super amazing. And then you took the massive risk of actually self-publishing and putting this up on Amazon. And as somebody who has had to fight with Kindle on regular levels, just the path of self-publishing and the putting the ISBN and what the American version of that is. But getting all the detritus of getting, you know, a book published is a huge, big frigging deal. And you did all that, too.
Right. But again, I'm going to go back to the support thing that you just said, because like, I didn't try and figure out how to publish a book myself. Okay. I went and found someone who was an expert in it to guide me along the path. And yes, I hate asking for help. I'm a heck of a lot better at it now because I've recognized there is somebody who can help me. And the best question I can ask to speed things up for anything is who can help me instead of how can I do it?
Oh, I agree. It's how I hire my coaches, because I'm just like, this is how this works. Okay, we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I want to understand more about your book and your mission. And we're going to find out more about that.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. Talk to me about, because you won in 2020, you won the Connected World's Women in Technology Award for empowering women in engineering technology. So explain to me about your mission is to normalize kind of STEM women.
Yeah.
Right. And women, tell me more about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am on a mission to normalize women in the technical fields as leaders. Throughout society, we see that there's not a ton of women leaders, and specifically in the science, technology, engineering, math realms, it's even a worse situation. You can go and look at the percentage of people at the top of Silicon Valley companies. I also don't want to focus precisely there because, you know, what is how I do that is I help both individuals and organizations who are committed to gender equity help their women rise through their organizations. But I think we also really must recognize, and I think you were talking about this on another podcast, about like what is success for the individual, and that success for someone coming into an organization may not be, I want to be the boss of the organization someday. And exactly. Making sure we can create paths within organizations for people to be able to use their unique superpowers, their unique genius, to get where they want to go, wherever that is. And so when I talk about leadership, it's, you know, first we have to start with leading yourself, which I did really well at parts in my career, and I did really terribly at other parts. And how do we create work cultures that enable people to be like, okay with, okay, this person, you know, her goal is to work to be able to, you know, take a couple months off in the summer and travel and do all those things, but also do meaningful work. That doesn't mean that she is any less dedicated to the job when she's there.
Oh my God, can I stop you for a moment? I was a lawyer in the good old days.
Okay, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And I remember the only female partner in my law firm of I don't know how many partners there were. And she worked Monday to, I don't know what it was it Tuesday morning to Friday, Monday to Friday morning, she worked 14-hour days, or Tuesday, Wednesday, so that she could have every single holiday off. But she actually had to kill herself to earn her holiday and had to give up her big job, because we were a medium-sized firm, in order to be able to accept that she should have holidays to be with her kids. That is just awful. That isn't understood, that you might want to see your children and you might want to have a different life to the life that everybody else is trying to have.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And moreover, what we have often seen in work cultures like that, and it's not exclusive to lawyers.
No.
I've actually talked for a number of women's legal groups as well, just because that some of the I'm going to call it hustle culture, work cultures.
100%.
We see them across different industries. But this idea, I think there's two things going on here. Some of it is, well, I had to suffer that way. And so therefore the next group has to suffer that way too.
So you're saying that different workplaces had different requirements?
Yeah. So in what I've seen is when you do not have very kind of transparent metrics for things like promotions, mm-hmm. what happens is that we see the people who do get promoted tend to match in their style the people who are already at the top. And a lot of that comes, I mean, we could talk about unconscious bias and why we are, you know, as humans automatically more, and I'm the same way as everyone else. I'm automatically going to look more favorably upon someone who reminds me of me when I was younger, period.
Like moves to like. It's yep. Very easy.
And so how do we get around that? Well, we define promotion metrics as, and they need to be outcomes, right? Because I think we've all had the experience where, you know, I worked 80 hours on this one project, yet the outcome I delivered was not as good as the 20-hour project I worked on.
Yeah.
And so getting away from this idea that butts in the seats is equated with productivity. And we are seeing some organizations get away from this, but I have coached plenty of young women in science, technology, engineering, and math, where they're like, you know what, my work culture, that is all they care about is productivity, hours that I'm there.
First in, them, last out, and all that. Yeah, rubbish.
Yeah. And for them, I'm like, well, you know, if you're telling me you don't want to live that life, I'm telling you there's plenty of other work environments out there that will support you in doing what you want to do. And until enough of us vote with our feet,
yeah, which we are doing, know, we're not putting post-pandemic. Up with
this. Yep. Until, but I think that realizing that when you stay in a work culture like that, like, you are contributing in some way, shape, or form to normalizing that that is okay. And there's a lot of reasons you could choose to do that. And I don't, you know, there's plenty of financial reasons, for example, that, you know, maybe you work in an area where you can't find another job, but hello pandemic, there's a lot of virtual options available now that were not available even 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I think the, you know, defining what does success mean for you personally is the most critical part of this path. And then once you define it, being willing to take that left turn when, you know, getting up the courage to do it. And for me, and I think for a lot of women, it's not just like one moment that, okay, you know, today I'm quitting my job and I'm going for whatever I want to do. For most people, if you want to start a side hustle, I would advise you to do what I did. Start it slowly while you still, you know, you either have savings or you're working for someone else, and use, I, for a couple months there, I was like, I'm using my day job to fund my dream.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. What is your, but what you do now is revenue creating and generating.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm not a nonprofit.
What do you know exactly? What do you get paid to do now? How do you get paid now? Like, yeah, for speaking and for.
Yep. So, obviously the book, but speaking workshops, I will also do consulting as well as one-on-one coaching. So pieces here in terms of both supporting individual women in their own career, and then within organizations, I do a ton of work in what's called ERGs. So employee resource groups, especially for women in technology-based organizations. And so a lot of the, we're seeing a lot of organizations really seeing investing in their employees as being both professionally, but then also health, wellness sorts of things have been coming to a head here for a very long time.
Yeah,
we have a burnout epidemic across not just STEM, but a lot of the information. I mean, lawyers have had a burnout epidemic forever.
Actually had a guy ring me and he said, can my daughter speak to you because she wants to become a lawyer? And I was like, I wouldn't do that. And he went, really? He said, can you not find time? I'm like, no, I'm going to tell her I hated every moment of it and that she shouldn't do it. And I never heard from them again. I was like, well, it's kind of, I'm like, I don't know. You know, you did ask and I wanted to tell you what I was going to say to her. But okay, we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I want to understand about how an engineer becomes good at public speaking and how you help people with that, please.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk. for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. In this last segment, tell me about, because you're just, I'm very geeky. I'm a massively happy introverted geek who just has really learned to have a public speaking persona. And I don't think public speaking and geeking are miles apart, because I'm so much happier public speaking on a stage than I am walking into a room with seven people. A room with seven people makes me sweat, absolutely sweat with nerves and fear. And you put me in front of a live TV and boy, am I the happiest chicken in the roost, because I'm like, there's one TV, there's usually one host. I'm a super happy chicken. Or you put me on a stage, I'm so happy. There's just me and that mic, right? So tell me about you. How did this journey happen?
That's another left turn story.
Yeah,
I bet. Okay.
It always is.
Another left turn story. Yeah. Okay. So right around the time I recognized that things looked great on the outside, but not so great on the inside, I was like, okay, I need to explore some other avenues here. What else is out there?
Is the book out there already?
The book is not out there. The book is not out there yet. Okay. So I volunteered. I'm a huge fan of giving back to my community.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons my business is what it is. I volunteered for an industry committee we published an article, which I helped co-write. So that was my first foray into writing as a professional. And that was about 10 years into my career. And then they're like, okay, we need someone to present on this at the national conference coming up.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I know
I
all
the
stuff.
I can feel the sweat rising.
I know all the stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Yo, I got to get out of my comfort zone. Okay. So I like kind of cringed and kind of raised my hand, like very tentatively. And I ended up presenting at that conference. Now I want to talk about the very human element of this, because I only had to present for like 10 minutes. And I probably spent 40 hours solid practicing this.
Wow.
And when I went up to speak, and so it was kind of your traditional, you know, I had slides up on the projector, I had a podium. I remember standing behind the podium, physically shaking, like hands shaking, like palms sweaty. I'm pretty sure like the back of my suit jacket was completely soaked by the end of that that 10 minutes. But I did it. And there's going to be a trend here, because when we start fasting forward here to when the book came out, as I mentioned, the very first thing, like a week after it came out, one of the people from my network said, can you come help keynote? It was like a dual keynote with another person. This conference we're doing in a couple
Your
of months.
Your life is over. You're like, oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, and we'll pay you a little bit to do this. And I didn't know that was a thing. And
You're
I was like
yeah.
Huh. Okay. I it was in LA. I'm like, sweet. I want to go to LA. Okay. I'm going to say yes. Oh, we're going to do that. And so basically every time speaking started just coming. Like I would speak one place and people would be like, oh, I saw you speak one place. Can you come speak to this one? Yeah. And then when the pandemic happened, all of a sudden there was a lot more. I had already been doing a lot of virtual speaking anyways. And then there was a lot more acceptance of virtual speaking. And so at this point, I have spoken to more than five, like I actually keep track of how many people I speak, how many people show up at events. I've spoken to more
you
than 5,000 people. Yeah. 5,000 wow. people in the last 2 years coming to different events. And so for me, it was, I am also an introvert. Speaking is not, I would never have said speaking is a natural gift. I like telling stories. I have no problem being vulnerable. And it's practice. It's yes. literally practice.
It really is. It really is. It's actually what you need to do. I remember that because I remember being just that pounding in the ears thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was really good on TV because that was fine. But the stage thing, I had to get my head around. And it was the pounding in my ears thing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to accept speaking at everything I can get my hands on until this is something that I can just do. And I remember doing that. And then it got to that place. So tell me, what is it that you want everyone to hear? What do you want them to know? And where did they get the book? But tell me what.
Yeah. Okay. So what I want everybody to know is that, like, inside of you, there is something that wants to come out.
Yeah.
And you know what it is. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like for women, we often feel like, oh, we're broken. We need another credential. We need to learn something
new. Yes, I'm going to learn more and then I'll be fine.
Yeah. No. Or I'm going to wait till I've had a lot of weight loss journey up and downs here. And so for me, a lot of times it was, I need to lose those last 20 pounds and then I'll go for what I want.
Yeah.
But what I want you to know is, you know what you want,
and you know job, who you are,
and you know who you are. Exactly. You know these things inside you, and your job as a human being is to let that gift out into the world, because you're going to help somebody if you can let it out into the world.
It's now the time to say, just get out the freaking way. But yes,
it is. But I think for a lot of us, like, you have to take that little baby step, and then every day take another baby step. So my question to you is, sitting here right now, give yourself 5 minutes to think about it. What is that tiny baby step you can take today to start moving you towards that dream you have? Even if you're not sure exactly what it looks like, you know, this thing you want, there's one little thing. It can be sending an email. It can be journaling on it. There's one baby step you can take, because if you do that every single day, you may find yourself a year later with a book like I did, or starting your own business, or doing something else amazing that you have no idea what it is right now.
I agree. I think that that's 100% accurate. And really, yeah, really fine. I have nothing to say to that other than I agree. Where can people find you? Where can they buy the book? Where can they find you?
Okay. So you can get the book on Amazon. If you just Google She Engineers, you will find it there. We have a lot of free resources on my website. So that's engineersrising.com. So come check us out
I'm
there.
I'm glad I didn't say Engineers Uprising. Like that.
Nope, it's Engineers Rising.
That is phenomenal. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm really grateful that you came on, and I'm really grateful that we had this time to chat. And I think it's really interesting that you've achieved so much and so many things. And there is a way where you kind of just float past all of them. And it's like, oh, well, I did this. And I'm like, no. Let's go back and break that down. What do you mean you did this, right? And it's the human part of it, because I think we just are like, oh, yeah, but then I did this and then I did this and it just happened. And actually, these things never just happen, because if they just happen, they would happen to everyone, and they don't. And what they do is they happen. What did Oprah say? It's amazing how lucky I get when I work really hard. And it's because you put yourself in that space of where it could just happen. And you took risks and you took steps. And so it's listening to you, I have a really strong sense that, I mean, you must be very unique amongst your circle. You must be quite unique amongst the people that you know. And you must be quite unique amongst, you know, even in your family, because what you've done from where you came from is actually quite a big trajectory.
Yeah. And it's funny because you're saying that and I'm hearing it, and I don't think of myself that way.
No,
I think
really
of myself
clear.
As just going to do the thing, like the job I have now, like the company I've created, this is exactly what I was put on the earth to do. I know that very deep in my soul. And that's what I want for everybody listening, to be in a place where, yes, you know, it's hard. Yes, there are plenty of things you're going to fail and crash and burn at on some days. And there are some days that will be amazing. But it's not like, you know, everyone's like, oh, like, do what you love, be happy. Like, for me, it's not like, like, I'm fine being happy, but it's more joy. It's a tremendous amount of fulfillment to know that, you know what, this is hard, but this is my gift to the world, and me doing this makes the world a better place. And that's what drives me. That may not be what drives all the listeners, but when you align what drives you with what you do. Yeah.
Just because that's what drives you doesn't make it any the less spectacular.
No, and I will be very clear about this. That drive, that particular why, didn't fit in some of the organizations I worked in. And for a long time, I thought, again, it was me. And it wasn't until I stepped out and got that support more solid around me that I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There can be more if I have the courage to peek behind the curtain and take the left I need to take.
Exactly. And so I think you're deeply impressive, and I think you did a phenomenal job at achieving all that. So thank you very much for everything that you're doing and have done and will continue to obviously do.
Thank you so much for having me today, Gita. I feel very grateful to be able to have connected with you and have this conversation with you today.
Yeah, no, I absolutely loved it. Just wonderful. If you could walk around a few times telling yourself that you're wonderful, that would make me even happier. From one coach to another, just off you go.
Thanks. Yes, gratitude practice. It is a work in progress.
No, but about you personally, not everything that you do. We're very good at the externals. It's the internals, right? Yeah. So that was a wonderful chat. And this is my wonderful guest, Stephanie Slocum. And you can look for She Engineers, which is her amazing book, which I haven't actually read it, but I'm going to off to go off and buy it now. And I hope that was inspiring, everyone. I hope that was something that you enjoyed, something that you picked something up from. I never want you to learn anything. I want you to feel something. If you can feel the things that you can hear coming out of people's mouths and they touch something in you, then my job is done. And that's what I wanted for you. And thank you very much for joining me. My name is Gita Sidhu-Rob. This is Activate Yourself. And I look forward to having you on again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.